Question this morning. Have you ever had an open door of opportunity that you wished you'd walk through? Have you ever had something like that? An opportunity and you wish you'd gone through that door, but you didn't? Years ago now, some of you will remember this if you're a little older. It was the 80s, the late mid to late 80s, and Whistler was just becoming a village. And people weren't sure whether Whistler was going to go or not. I had an opportunity back then to buy a 3-bedroom condominium in downtown Whistler on the top floor of a building for $37,000. And I talked about it with my wife, and we didn't do it. That would have been my retirement fund today. I looked a few years ago, and one in that building, a 3-bedroom, was selling for $2.5 million. And that was a few years ago. Oops. You know, we all have doors that open for us. And the question is, will we walk through them? Today, we're going to look at a letter to a church where there's an open door. And the question for them and the question for us is, will we walk through it? We're in a series called Broken But Beautiful, where we're looking at both the broken and the beautiful of the church through the 7 letters to the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. And today, we're looking at the church in the city of Philadelphia. And I thought what I'd do today is read the whole letter, and then we'll go back and journey through it together. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7, this is the letter to the church in Philadelphia. And Jesus says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the ones of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The town of Philadelphia was 40 kilometers southeast of Sardis. And the church in Philadelphia, and on the church in Philadelphia, you notice Jesus heaps much praise. Did you notice in this letter there's no word of complaint, there's no word of correction. Jesus doesn't say, "But I have this against you." All Jesus does to this church is heap praise on. And notice how Jesus described himself, verse 7. "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true." Holy and true. Those are words the Old Testament uses of God and only of God. Here Jesus uses those titles to describe himself. Jesus here is making an incredible claim. He's saying, these are the words of him who is God. Notice what he says about him who is God in the rest of verse 7. Who holds the key of David, which he opens, what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. John here is referring to a verse in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 22, verse 22 says this, "I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." This is a prophecy in the Old Testament concerning Elikim's authority, and Elikim became the royal guardian of all of ancient Jerusalem. But it's also a prophecy, a foretelling, a foreshadowing of Christ's authority regarding his kingdom. Jesus, the holy and true one, the one who is God, the one who has authority, has the key of David that opens doors. Notice verse 8. See, I have placed before you, I placed before the church, I placed before the people in the church an open door that no one can shut. So what is the open door? Well, there's three possibilities about what this open door is, and I just want to explore each one of them with you this morning. The first possibility is the door of salvation. Just to remind you, each of us was created for four relationships. We were created for a relationship with God. We were created for a relationship with other human beings. We were created for a relationship with creation itself. And we were created for a relationship, if you will, with ourselves. In other words, we are created to be whole, complete people. But when Adam and Eve chose to go their own way, when they turned their back on God, when they rebelled, their choice impacted all humanity. Everything went sideways, and we know that. You don't have to tell people today the world isn't what it should be. We're created to be whole, complete people, but every single one of us, to some degree or another, within us, there's dysfunction and brokenness. We are created to have loving, harmonious relationships with other people, but all of us know the pain and heartache of fractured relationships. We are created to have a relationship with creation. We were created to steward creation, but history shows that we haven't stewarded creation, we've exploited creation. And we are created to have a loving relationship with God. There was a chasm created between God and humanity. And that separated humanity from God. And throughout human history, there's been this awareness of this distance, of this chasm. And people have longed for some kind of connection with God. That's what religion is all about. Religion is humanity's attempt to bridge the chasm and reconnect with God. But we were not able to do that as human beings. We couldn't make the connection ourselves or the reconnection. And that's why God, over 2,000 years ago, did something absolutely extraordinary. He sent his son Jesus to repair the broken relationships. And when Jesus hung on the cross, all the shortcomings and sin and brokenness of the world was placed on him. It was transferred from our shoulders to his shoulders. And it says it so well in 1 Timothy 2:5, that God was on one side and all the people on the other side. And Christ, excuse us, Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them, to bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. Jesus, the holy and true one, became the bridge between God the Father and humanity. He's the one who holds the keys that opened the door to salvation. And that door is still open today. And each of us needs to walk through that open door. The question is, have you or will you? Will you walk through that door? Will you trust Jesus? Will you say yes to following him? Will you repent and change direction? In other words, in seeking yourself rather than that, turn and seek Jesus. Will you ask Jesus to have the work of the cross applied to your life. When you do that, you enter his kingdom. You see, the cross is a doorway into his kingdom. And when you enter his kingdom, you begin the journey of healing those four relationships you were created for. The relationship between you and God is restored, and you begin the journey of developing a deep, loving, dynamic relationship with the living, loving God. Jesus wants to do a deep work within you to help heal you from your past hurts and dysfunction so you can become a more whole human being. He wants to come into your relationships and bring reconciliation and forgiveness. And he wants to call you to be a steward of creation. The possibility of what the open door is the open door of salvation. Have you walked through it? If you haven't, will you? The second possibility is the door is the door of opportunity. If you were to read through the New Testament, you would see that sharing the good news of Jesus is often viewed as an open door of opportunity. For example, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:12, "When I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, a door was opened for me in the Lord." In Troas, God opened the door of opportunity for Paul to preach or share about Jesus. Likewise, the Philadelphian church also had some kind of door of opportunity presented to them to spread the good news of Jesus. Which makes sense, because Philadelphia, the city, was founded in a very strategic place. And the city was founded in that strategic place for one purpose: to be a base for which to launch a campaign to Hellenize the world. It was to be a base from which to spread the Greek language, the Greek worldview, the Greek way of life with the rest of the world. Philadelphia was a missionary city for everything Greek. And Jesus is saying to the Christ followers in that city, "I have set before you an open door of opportunity to be the base for launching a new campaign, not to Hellenize the world, but one which will spread the gospel, the good news, around the world." Jesus had opened an open door of opportunity to that little church. And that little church needed to walk through it so Jesus could use them to spread the good news in their city and beyond. That raises the question, what open doors of opportunity is Jesus giving to us as a church? I think Jesus gives us the open door of opportunity of serve the city, where we can walk through and share the good news, the love, and the grace of Jesus in practical ways with others. I think Jesus has given us the open door of Living Edge Market for the same reason. I think Jesus is giving us a big open door of opportunity when it comes to First Nations and reconciliation, and we need to walk through that door. Jesus is giving us all kinds of opportunities as a church, open doors to walk through where we can share and spread the good news of Jesus in word and action. I think in our micro churches, as our micro churches start to pray, "God, where do you want us to go share your love and grace in this city? Where do you want us to go be together and minister in this city?" God's going to open up fascinating doors of opportunities for our micro churches to walk through. And we're going to see Jesus work in incredible ways. I think in our own individual lives, as we journey through our weeks, Jesus is putting before us doors of opportunity for us to walk through so we can share his love and grace in word and action in small and sometimes big ways. The question is, are we aware of those doors as we go through our weeks? Jesus is placing before us doors of opportunity. Will we walk through them? Now, we need to know as we walk through those doors of opportunity, we will experience conflict. Look at verse 9. I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Many of the Christ followers in Philadelphia were Jewish. And because of their faith, they had the door of the synagogue slammed in their face. They had been excommunicated, cursed. They had been persecuted. They'd been disowned by family and community. For them, following Jesus came with a cost. It often does. And so Jesus says to them, I will make them come and bow down before your feet. To bow down there means to show special honor. God was assuring the Philadelphian Christ followers that sometime in the future, they would be shown honor by their persecutors. One day, they would be vindicated. One day, Jesus would honor their faithfulness. And that's why he says in verse 10, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. And then look what he says. Hold on. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. In other words, no matter what happens, no matter what people say about you, no matter what people do to you, no matter how they treat you, hold on, remain faithful, finish strong. You know, that's a good encouragement for us today. As we journey through the chaos of life, as maybe people misunderstand our following Jesus, maybe they misunderstand some of what we do, some of what we say, always remember, you've got that great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews 12 talks about. You've got Jesus himself cheering you on, saying, hold on, remain faithful, finish strong, church, finish strong. Also, walking through those doors of opportunity to share Jesus will require faithfulness. Look at verse 8. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Philadelphia, the church in Philadelphia, was a small congregation of ordinary Christ followers who had little strength. Now it's important here to understand what Jesus meant. Little means insignificant. Power or strength here means resources. The church at Philadelphia was a small congregation with insignificant resources. And yet, as insignificant and as under-resourced as this church was, they remained faithful to Jesus. Despite the pressures to do elsewise, they kept his word. They did not deny his name. They followed him faithfully. And they're a good example to us. As the pressures in life come in our individual life, as the pressures come upon us as a church, the call is to remain faithful to Jesus, to keep his word, and do not deny his name. And we need to make sure we're doing that both individually and collectively. So the first possibility is this door is the door of salvation. Second possibility, it's a door of opportunity to walk through to share Jesus. And here's the third possibility. The open door is the entrance to heaven. In Scripture, an open door is sometimes talked about as the entrance to heaven. A good example of that is Revelation 4:1, where it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. You see, when we walk through the door of salvation, it means one day we will also walk through the open door of heaven. And when we walk through the door of opportunity to share Jesus with others. Jesus will use us to help others also walk through the door of salvation, so one day they will walk through the open door of heaven. And when you walk through that open door of heaven one day, when you enter into eternity, Jesus says he's going to make you into a pillar. Not literally. Okay, we're not all going to be pillars up there. All right, but this is what it says in Revelation 3:12. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. Now that's figurative language, but Jesus here is picking up on a custom associated with the temples in Philadelphia. If you served that city well, in other words, you were a judge or a city leader and you served the city well, when you died, they would honor you by erecting a pillar, with your name on it in one of the temples. And Jesus is saying here that he will honor those who have remained faithful and finished strong. Even though they were not being treated well now, one day, when they passed into eternity, when they walked into heaven, they would be honored for their faithfulness. And folks, that's not just true back then, that's true today. If you're walking faithfully with Jesus, when you die and walk through the open door of heaven, you're going to be met with, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus will honor your faithfulness. And then look at what else he says, back to verse 12 here. He says, I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. When you walk through the door of heaven and into eternity, you will have three names written on you. Again, this is figurative language, not literal language. But it's important to hear what these names are about. Jesus says the first name is the name of God, which identifies you as a child of God. It means you belong to him. Your identity is secure. And folks, that's just not a great future truth. That's also a present reality if you're a follower of Jesus. Too many Christ followers today don't understand their identity, who they are in Jesus. And too many Christ followers today are trying to find their identity in all the wrong places. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a child of the living God. Actually, we're going to do a whole series on this starting on January the 9th called Who Am I? I think this is so fundamental to living the life that Jesus wants you to live, is you understand who you are as a child of God. The second name is the name of God's city, the New Jerusalem. You will be a permanent resident of the city of God. You'll never have to leave. And that was significant. We all look at that and go, huh? But if you lived in Philadelphia at the time, that was a really significant statement. Because Philadelphia was located in the Lydian Valley, where earthquakes were abundant. In fact, in 17 AD, one of the most powerful earthquakes to that point in human history devastated Philadelphia. The damage was substantial. The aftershocks lasted for years. And these aftershocks made most of the city citizens paranoid. They were fearful. They were always on edge, wondering when the next quake was going to come. And whenever a quake or a major aftershock shook the city, the people would flee. And when the aftershocks died down, they would return. Do you see what Jesus is saying to those people? He's saying to them, one day, you will enter a city that you're never going to have to flee. You will enter a city you don't have to evacuate. One day, you will be a citizen of an eternal city, a city that cannot be shaken. Your residence in eternity is secure. And then the third name is Jesus' new name. It says in Revelation 19, 12, his, that's Jesus, eyes are like a blazing fire. On his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Jesus has a new name written on him, a name no one at this time knows. Whatever that name is, it will also be written on you. In other words, you are his, and you will be permanently identified with him. If you're a follower of Jesus, there's three names. The name of God, your destiny and identity is secure. The name of God's city, you are a permanent resident of God's city, of his kingdom. A kingdom that will never be shaken or destroyed. And then there's Christ's new name. You are his. You are permanently identified with him. Folks, those are three tattoos you want. Let me go back to the statement earlier. I have set before you an open door which no one can shut. Christ has the keys. Christ has the keys, and he has opened the door of salvation, which will one day take you through the open door into eternity with him. And maybe today, either online or in person here in the room, you've never gone through the open door of salvation. I want to encourage you to do it today as we take communion in a few minutes. Say to Jesus, Jesus, I want the work of the cross applied to my life. I want to trust you. I want to follow you. I want to turn and focus on you. And I want to walk with you the rest of my life. Do that today if you've never done that. And then maybe if you do that today, or maybe you've done that in the recent past or whatever, and you want to express it publicly, you'll notice over here our baptismal tank is not super decorated. There's a reason for that. December 19th, we're going to have the first baptismal service we've had in how many years, Lindsay? It's been a while because of COVID. But we're having a baptismal service. We're going for it. And if you want to get baptized on December 19th, I want to encourage you, send an email to office@sanisbaptist.org and we will make that happen. And then Christ has the keys. And he's opened the door of opportunity for us to share the good news about him in both word and action. The question is, will we walk through those doors of opportunity? Will we do it as a church? Will we do it as micro churches? Will we do it as individuals? And here's my challenge for you this week and for me. Each day this week, let's ask God to give us open doors where we can share the good news of Jesus in either word or action or both. And then when Jesus opens those doors of opportunity for us, let's be brave and not be fearful. Let's trust him and step through those doors, and let's watch Jesus work. To him who has ears to hear. As we come to communion today, what is the Spirit saying to you? What door does the Spirit want you to walk through? As we take communion today, Lindsay's going to come and lead us. I want you to listen as you worship. The Spirit wants to speak. Let me pray, and I'll turn it over to Lindsay. Father, thank you for today and your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the open doors you put in front of us, the open door of salvation. I pray for any who have not walked through that door of starting a relationship with you, that they will do it today. God, I pray for the open doors of opportunity that you give us to share the good news of Jesus. You give it to us almost every day as individuals. You're giving it to us as a church. I pray for our opportunities with Victoria Dream Center and First Nations. God, that you will open that door. We will walk through that door and we will see you work in great ways. God, I pray that you will do great works in our microchurches. I pray, God, that you will open doors of opportunity for our microchurches to walk through and share your love and grace with others. And I pray for all of us that this week, as we move into this first week of Advent, that we will be aware of the open doors that you're giving us. Your Spirit is speaking. Thank you for the hope we have of the open door of heaven. May we listen to you in these moments as we come around and take communion together. In Jesus' name, amen.